Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grillin' mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Hope you got an opportunity to put your feet on the floor, get out in the backyard, and fire up a grill or a smoker. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and welcome to the show. Thanks for taking a little time to join us here on this weekend. Been a great week. We celebrated D-Day, which is always, I think, very cool for people to look back on. There's so many great photographs and everything, but yep. This show today is all about Texas, baby.
Yeah, we're going to do a little Texas barbecue, and we're doing a little rearranging on the fly, but we're going to make it happen. We've had somebody's barbecue got a little hotter than they thought it could be, so they had to back out on us. But we're going to make it good. We've been down there a few times, and I've got family there, so we can give you some firsthand experience on what Texas barbecue is all about. It's different. It's something that is unique to that region, and we're going to cover a lot of that. But right now, what did you do this week, Barbecue Bob? You had that big graduation party shindig at your place since we last time we talked to everybody.
Yep. You were
How'd
there.
That go?
You were there. Did you have any fun?
I did. I had a lot of fun. The pool was lit up. I watched all those kids a lot younger than me playing volleyball in your backyard. And but yeah, it was good, and the food was good. It was different. I was pleasantly surprised with what you did, because it wasn't a barbecue, yet it included a bunch of barbecued food.
Right. Right. Yeah, and that's. That's a nice twist. That was actually my daughter Emily's idea.
Yep.
She lives in Burbank, California, and is quite the chef. And so she's gotten accustomed to eating a lot of Mexican food. So we put carnitas profile marinade on all the meats. I got to tell you, my favorite of all, believe it or not, was the skinless, boneless chicken thighs.
Right.
Because we marinated them in the same thing. And I've got a recipe coming up in a later segment that we're going to cover pork carnitas, but that same marinade is fantastic on chicken. I did it on chuck roast. I smoked a bunch of chuck roasts. We did one brisket, and the funny thing about the brisket is I took it out a couple days in advance and put it in a cooler.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't really thawed very well.
Oh.
So it was a little stiff in the middle. I had a tough time carving the fat out of it.
Right.
So it was just okay. I don't know if you had any of the brisket or not. I wasn't thrilled with it, but I had that big judge just loaded up with food. So it when you're doing, I think we fed over 200 people. I'm going to say 250, but my wife thinks it was less than that. I just know that the next morning there were 23 cars in the driveway.
So well, then you're practicing responsible barbecuing if you had all those guests
we
that were
did.
There
we had
over the night.
A bunch of the lacrosse and wrestlers from Olivet College, because Jordan graduated and Olivia graduated from high school, Jordan from college, so a bunch of his college buddies came, and that put a big dent on the food. We actually had just enough meat. We had one butt left over.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
six
out of all
butts,
that meat. Yeah.
Six butts, 10 chucks, a brisket, and 30 pounds of skinless, boneless chicken thighs.
So I want to talk about the chucks, because that's not one that I bet a lot of people have done in their smoker.
Right.
And you do it all the time.
I love chucks.
I know. So why do you do that? Why'd you choose that cut?
I think I just love chuck anything. The flavor.
Right.
You know, it's a went down to Sobeys and had them cut 10 of those roasts at 1¼ inches thick, so that when we broke them up.
Bone in or boneless?
Bone in. So when we broke them up, it'd be the right length. We didn't have to dice it.
Right.
Basically, you know, feeding the masses.
So you did that in kind of a pulled beef
sort of
thing,
yep.
Right?
Like
you cooked it enough?
Beef barbecue,
yep.
But with that Mexican profile.
Right. And that chuck has a real beefy, that's the only way I can describe it. It's one of the beefiest tasting cuts on the cow. And if you cook it like that, you slow cook it. You know, my mom used to put it in a pressure cooker,
right?
And cook the living hell out of it. But now, you know, we've learned to do this on a smoker, and it's a great cut, and it's budget friendly. If you're looking to do beef, those chuck roasts are nice and they're super flavorful. And how warm did you get that before you pulled it? Just like everything else?
I think I got them up to about 165, and then I wrapped them and brought them up to about 190. They could have gone a little longer. They weren't as tender as I needed them to be. They were a little slow. Surprisingly, those, I probably put them on a little bit late, but I you're always guessing when you're staging foods like that. Of course, the brisket and butts went on the night before.
Right.
And I put those on maybe 10 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of fun. I was happy that, you know, I tried to give the ladies in the house a little advice on how to set up the food bar, but they had
How'd
their
that
own
go for
particular
you?
Way.
Yeah.
And it turns out that what I was suggesting was a good idea. Big bins of food. I also told my wife to get some help because we have a housekeeper, and she volunteered, or she would work to come in and just resupply all the food. Well, let me tell you, not having Carla there was a bummer because keeping those little containers full of meat
right.
was a pain in the keister.
Well, it was regular. I mean, there was a lot of us going through line, man. And picture this. It's this long dining table, and they've set up basically a Mexican buffet where you started at one end with your tortillas, then you hit your meats and beans and vegetables and salsas and everything. It was wonderful because you could make it any way you want. It
right.
was kind of like going to Moe's. Welcome to Moe's, right? And
right.
But you get to make your own as you went through there. But yet it was barbecued pork and beef and chicken. Two kinds of beef with the brisket there. So it was wonderful. And it was a great idea, I think. Other than if you had a little more help with the filling of that, it was pretty maintenance-free. I mean, you weren't serving people. They were serving themselves.
We went to our friends the next day. I was dead tired.
Yeah.
I mean, dragging.
Well, sure.
And they actually had a server, which made it nice for them because they got to enjoy the party.
Right.
Whereas I was running until 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, just keeping the food going.
Yep. And had a keg of beer there.
Oh.
Now, I was pleasantly surprised with that.
Fantastic. Yeah. Crankers. I got a half barrel of Sustainer from Jim Crank at Crankers. And I mean, everybody that was drinking a beer had come up to me and asked me, what is this?
Right.
And it's a Belgian. It's called Sustainer from Crankers. Fantastic beer. And I picked that because, number one, I love it.
Right.
And number two, I've never really met anybody that doesn't like a Belgian. I've met people that don't like IPAs
right.
or wheats or this or that. But anytime you give somebody a Belgian, it's usually like, ooh, that's
yep,
really
it's a little
nice.
More malty, not quite as hoppy as some of your other beers.
Yeah, not now, hoppy at all.
Right. Those of you that are listening all over the state of Michigan, you can find Crankers. They've got three physical locations, one in Mount Pleasant, one in Big Rapids, and one down here in Grand Rapids. But their stuff is in distribution. You should be able to find it in the stores. But this Sustainer was a pleasant surprise.
It's fantastic. And if you're in New Jersey, just text me, and I'll bring you some next time I come out there.
Yeah. All good. But anyway, so Memorial Day was a little bit of a flop for me because I had some people that had to cancel at the last minute. So you end up with all this food that you were going to cook for them. Some of it was already cooking, right, when it happened. So
what'd you make?
I made a brisket, and I also I had plans to make a bunch of shrimp and stuff because Michelle and her friends liked shrimp very much. So I was going to barbecue some of that up. It didn't work out for us, so it was cook some
you mean
of it,
they canceled
freeze it
the day of.
Right. Well, for good reasons. I mean, but anyway, my point is that I had some stuff cooked that's now in the freezer, and I had some stuff thawed out that I'm
now
like,
has to go on the grill.
Right. Now I had to go on the grill because I can't refreeze the
So
the
you're
going to
be having shrimp all week.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But anyway, it was a good time, and everybody, I hope, had a safe weekend. That was a couple weekends ago, but we did a best of last week, so I just wanted to touch on that.
Yeah, we're going to cover some briskets. I had actually Driftwood was going to call in, the Driftwood from Driftwood, Texas, the Salt Lick, because they're just legendary. And but we're going to fill in with a little talk between Kansas City brisket and Texas brisket.
All right, stick with us. We'll be back.
Trying to drown upon you, ask any old bar stool. I can finally stretch out in a king-size bed if I make it that far.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Welcome back. You host the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's all about Texas barbecue this week, and our buddies, the ZZ Top. Everybody likes a sharp-dressed griller. Ain't that right, Barbecue?
Yeah. I don't think they pay much attention to what he's wearing as long as he's wearing something.
Right.
Welcome back to the Grilling Guys. You can follow us on Facebook / the Grilling Guys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy. And you can check out our website. It's thegrillingguys.com. And there's lots of recipes, lots of you name it on there. All our shows are on there. You can podcast the show right from there, send it to your phone. And there's a menu bar in the top right. If you're looking for a certain food item, punch it in there. You might just find some help.
Yep, exactly. And speaking of food items, we wouldn't be doing Texas without brisket, right? You mentioned in the last segment there that you had cooked a brisket for your graduation party, and
right.
And maybe you didn't thaw it out enough before you cooked
it. Yeah,
it
was one I had in the freezer. I've got a couple of them. My wife was adamant that we don't do brisket this time, that we do, you know, this Mexican thing.
Right.
And I got all my buddies showing up, and they're like, you're doing brisket, right? I'm
yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm going to do one. So right. So fortunately.
Well, fire's hot, right? Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Fortunately, I had that one ready because some of the beef was struggling, and I got that out just in time, and they all absolutely loved it. So
well, sure.
It was good to have a brisket there. But Texas brisket, you know, unlike a lot of other places, is a little different. A lot of barbecue has evolved around the country anyway, so there's not necessarily the same succinct profiles that there used to be. But in Texas, they don't touch the brisket. They salt and pepper it,
right?
And they grill it or smoke it with the fat side up.
Yep.
So the fat runs through the meat. Now, I maintain, as a lot of people do, that fat running through the meat does nothing for the meat. But that's how they do it. That's how they like it. And then what they do is they chop it up with a big cleaver. So you get a chopped brisket primarily,
right?
Texas style, not always, but that's kind of the traditional way they did it. Just salt and pepper. And then of course they're smoking it on, mesquite. So yeah, that's a strong wood.
It is. And they have this other stuff they call live oak down there.
Yeah.
And both of those are big, strong smoke flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of the traditional Texas pits are going to cook over hardwood coals. They're not buying pre-made lump charcoal.
Right.
They're making their own coals right from the wood. And then when those coals get down to that bright orange coal, they're not smoking anymore. They'll shovel them out and put them in their pit.
Great way to go, though.
And it is. It takes a little bit longer to do, but if you want that authentic taste, and in my opinion, that is a completely different profile than you get from lump charcoal, because the lump charcoal has usually a combination of woods in it, in most of them that we see. Might be predominantly oak or predominantly hickory or something like that, but when you're doing just the pure one flavor of smoke wood, you get that profile, whatever it is. And again, that mesquite and that oak, they're big, strong, smoky flavors, which the beef tends to handle a little better.
Right.
And if you were doing chicken or fish, you'd probably stay away from that.
But see, in Texas also, the other big meat they have is chicken.
Right.
And sausage. Sausage is a biggie down there.
Yep.
So I don't go to Texas near enough. And when I do, very often I don't get a chance to really carouse the barbecue places like I'd like to, but that'd be a worthy tour right there.
So as long as we're on brisket, I think it'd be a good use of some time to talk about preparing the piece of meat before you put it on the smoker, because this is probably the most difficult piece to get right.
Right.
Because of the characteristic of the cut.
Right.
You've got one end that's called the flat and another end that's called the point, right? And or the decal. Right.
Yep.
So that point end is three times as thick as that flat end. Just fundamentally, that in and of itself creates a problem.
Well, and the flat actually runs throughout the whole piece of meat. It kind of tapers off at an angle on the point end as the decal gets thicker. So what a lot of competition guys do now, and I used to be chastised for this years ago by some guys in Kansas City that you know.
Yeah.
But I would carve out that fat between the decal and the point to the point where it would just separate. Well, competition guys are now doing that. They're literally separating the point from the flat, smoking them separately, and then marrying them back together for the wrap, so that they can get a sort of a contiguous piece of meat. I like doing them separately because then you have two pieces of meat that are like an inch and a half thick, and they're going to cook evenly. The problem with leaving a brisket whole and leaving that flat on there is if you're trying to get that point up to 165 before you wrap it, well, your flat's already at 180.
Right.
And you've probably already driven too much moisture out of it, and you're going to have a hard time rehydrating it to any satisfaction. So by separating them, you can bring them both up to 160 or 165, wrap them, and I just wrap them separately. I don't do competition, so I'm not worried about presentation in that regard. I still prefer the point portion, the decal portion, flavor-wise and fat content-wise over the flat. But it's just a lot easier to do it that way, and especially like a lot of people use these Smoky Hollows and these Master Builts and all these, I'd say,
smaller,
inexpensive locker boxes,
right,
that are small, and a full pack of brisket can be almost 2 feet long. You can't get it in there.
Right.
So by separating it, you might actually get them both on your racks,
right,
if the thing is big enough.
And I would concur you're going to get a better result. When you separate that, like you just talked about, if you've learned anything from listening to Grilling Guys over the years, is that our most important tool is a digital thermometer.
Right.
Because you cannot overcook your barbecue, or it will go from great to zero in a hurry.
Right.
So by separating those two, I can also temperature monitor both of those. And what Bob said is really important, in that when it gets to 160, you want to wrap it in tin foil. And don't you put a little bit of moisture in there with that as well?
I've got a few secret weapons that I like to throw in there.
Right.
Absolutely. But beef broth is a good one for
starters. So, but it's moisture, and you can play with the moisture. You could do beer. Don't do a big strong beer, because now you're going to alter the flavor. But the idea is you're wrapping that thing up, and you're steaming it a little bit for the last 30 degrees. Because we're pulling our brisket at about 190. And it doesn't matter to stick your thermometer through the foil. You're not going to let out all the steam. Don't worry about that. But what you don't want to do is get to like 205 with that, because it's going to be
a little bit overcooked.
It's going to be overcooked.
I like to serve it and get it off about 198. If I can pull it at 195, it'll be about 198 when I'm done. And I'm going to get a chance to do that next week. We're recording this show early because I actually Thursday have to head on a plane, and I'm going out to Sacramento to do this Whole Foods Top Chef event, which I've been waiting for a couple months. So I'm going to be in Sacramento all weekend. After that, Sunday, I fly up to our corporate ranch where we're having a high-level dealer meeting,
Okay. Which
is really cool because they call it an advisory. So I'm going to be out there on that back deck 3 days in a row smoking briskets and butts and doing...
So you got hired as Hop Sing
doing
for this
steak.
Deal.
They said they really wanted me to come to the meeting, but once I found my duties, it's like I am going to be barbecuing up there.
Hello, where's my name tag? Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't print one for you.
No, yeah. You know what? It's the best of both worlds because I don't have to sit through 2 days of meetings.
Yeah.
And I get to be out on the deck smoking,
right,
which will be wonderful. It's right on the Saskatchewan River. Arctic Spas has this training facility, yeah. 108 acres. It's fantastic. So I'm happy. And then I just get to hang around and have a glass of wine or a beer with all the dealers at night.
Right, yeah.
So I'm real happy to go up there and take one for the team.
Yeah, right, you are. That's somebody's got to do that dreadful work, but
yes. It's
all over. You got it, right? Very cool. So anyway, the Texas brisket scene is one that, you can look up a lot of information online. Coming up next, we're going to have a guy named Danny Skiff join us, and Danny's done a brisket or two. He's a man of a lot of knowledge when it comes to barbecue, right, Bob?
Yeah, he and I were reps together in the smoker business for years, and he was a vital part of developing a portion of our market.
Yeah. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're talking a little Texas barbecue this week. And tell you what, I got some family down there that have turned me on to some great places. Bob, you've got some friends that are familiar with the area as well, right?
Yeah, one's on the live line right now. It's Danny Skiff. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Hey, now Danny is now in the oil business, so I'm sure you're just taking a break. How hot's it going to get in southern Texas today?
It'll probably be about 110 on our location.
Oh, that's a cool breeze for you. So Danny and I go way back to the smoker peddling days, and we did have an awful lot of fun. We have a mutual friend. His name is T. Gid. Jop, you've talked to T. Gid before.
Only about 100 times. Yeah.
And so anyway, Danny, let's tell the folks a little bit about what defines Texas barbecue.
All right. It really all starts with brisket. You know, beef is king in Texas. We do have some good places with pulled pork and pork ribs, but it's really about the brisket. And the method of cooking the briskets really came from German and Czech immigrants that came to Texas back in the 1830s. And what they would do, the butchers would cut up the beef and, you know, put it for sale. And what didn't sell, which was usually the tougher cuts, including the brisket, would be smoked so that they could sell it later. That's really kind of where smoking that part came from. But smoking briskets as briskets and advertise them as briskets really didn't start until the early 1950s in Texas at Black's Barbecue in Lockhart, which is one of the three famous barbecue spots in Lockhart, Texas. And a man named Edgar Black started selling briskets then. And so he really revolutionized it. Barbecue restaurants have brisket now because of Edgar Black.
Well, he is the legend. He just passed away, didn't he?
Yes, last week.
Right. And that's Black's in Lockhart. Yeah, what a legend. And I saw your post on that. What a cool guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he built their pit there in 1949, the one they still cook on.
Wow. And, if those walls could talk, right? Man.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
tell us how he does his brisket, or how they do their brisket.
All right, it's really a very simple system. They cook it long and slow. They're usually using oak as their heat source, and then some pecan is typically in there. I know a few of the barbecue restaurants that are kind of famous in Texas use oak and then put wet pecan shells in there to control their temperature, their fire, and to give some more smoke. But it's really simple, salt and pepper rub, minimum amount of trimming, and then long, slow cooks, up to 20-hour cooks over the oak and the pecan. And so the flavoring in there is the meat. They're usually not served sauced, although Edgar Black had so many requests for sauce because nobody else in the area served barbecue sauce, that he and his wife worked on a recipe for about 20 years before they ever brought it into the restaurant.
That's perfection.
That is. And it's the only restaurant there in Lockhart that has sauce.
Now, is that considered hill country?
Central Texas. It is kind of the hill country area. Central Texas is where a lot of the European immigrants settled in the 1800s, and brought that style of cooking. Lockhart is probably about 30 miles outside of Austin, and so it's definitely a popular barbecue spot. They call themselves the barbecue capital of the world. If you go there and eat, you won't really have anything to argue about it.
So they do a lot of things other than brisket, though, in Texas, don't they?
They do. One of the things that's gotten kind of popular, and it's not inexpensive when you go eat it, are the very large beef ribs. And Louis Mueller Barbecue in Taylor, Texas, a little north of Austin, was one of the first ones to do them. I know Franklin Barbecue is kind of famous for them now. I had some that were probably the best I've ever eaten at a restaurant at a place called 2M Smokehouse in San Antonio last Saturday. And it's a big, giant beef rib. And again, they're cooking it low and slow till it's tender like a brisket. Little bit different flavor, because of the ribs and the bones. Briskets have been sold boneless since about mid-1970s. So it's a little bit different flavor being cooked on the bone.
So now up in San Antonio, did they leave those intact and give you like four ribs?
Well, you're buying it by the pound. Like most barbecue in Texas, you buy it by the pound. They put it on some butcher paper and hand it to you. At 2M Smokehouse, they only do those big beef ribs on Saturdays. My wife and I went up there to try them because I'd heard they were great, and they were. And we waited in line about an hour and 10 minutes to get in there. People who got in line probably 30 minutes after us didn't get any beef ribs, and they only do them on Friday.
Wow. That's got to be so disappointing.
But that's barbecue. You know what I mean? It's a 20-hour cook. I'm going to cook so much of it, and when it's gone, it's gone. It's not like I can just whip up another order.
Right.
Yeah, with those beef ribs, you know, they came out and asked us while we were waiting in line before they opened, do you want beef ribs or want to get a count? And so we actually said we wanted two. Well, the beef ribs there are $22 a pound, and the two beef ribs weighed about 2.5 to 2.75 pounds. So it's not something I'm going to go eat every day.
Right.
But you would if you could.
Yeah.
Yes. It was well worth it to go there and try them. And the only better beef ribs I've ever had were ones that I did, and they don't always turn out that good.
Right. Right. They're not the easiest.
Exactly.
So Danny, let's run down that road a minute, because I've got a few of them in the freezer right now that I want to thaw out and do. Give me two or three tips on beef ribs, because now you say you let the cat out of the bag that you actually make them as well.
All right. I try to buy some with a lot of meat on them. I've got a local butcher down in Pleasanton, Texas, called Grandin's that I can go get them from. There are two kinds that I get, and it kind of depends how much money I want to spend on them. I either buy uncut beef short ribs, and so that's a rack of four bones, and the ones I get down there, it's probably about 3 inches thick. And so one rack of four ribs is going to weigh probably 5.5 to 6 pounds.
Okay.
And what I do with them is I peel the membrane off the underside, and it's a little tougher than peeling off the membrane off the pork ribs, but you got to be persistent, get that off of there. I'll trim a little bit of the fat off the top side, not all of it, of course, but any place it's thick, I'll trim it off. And then I use a hot sauce called Crystal brand Louisiana hot sauce, and I'll just slather the whole thing in Crystal brand hot sauce. And then sprinkle on about a 50-50 mix of kosher salt and fresh ground black pepper. And then the way I typically cook them, I put them in the smoker with cherry wood as a smoke flavoring, and cook them for about 6 hours for those 2.5 to 3 inch thick ribs. In about 6 hours, they're tender. And I know they're done when I stick my thermometer probe into between the bones and it slides in and out with no resistance, kind of like how I check a brisket.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're not wrapping them at all?
I'm not wrapping them. The only time I wrap them is if I'm going to be holding them for a while and, you know, serving them over a period of time.
Right.
And then I usually try to wrap them in butcher paper instead of foil just so I don't kill the bark on it as much.
Right. That's a good idea.
That's how I do my briskets and how a lot of people down here do it. I actually read about it in Aaron Franklin's book about wrapping them in butcher paper. I was cooking some pretty good briskets the first time I ever went and waited in line and ate at Franklin Barbecue in Austin. And the brisket, the texture and how tender it was just blew my mind.
Mm.
And that was one of the things he said is he wraps them in butcher paper. And usually wrap them after the stall. So I'm waiting until the brisket gets to about 175 IT and then wrapping it in butcher paper and putting it back in there until it's tender.
Huh, interesting. After the stall. Well, Danny Skiff, always good to talk to you, buddy. I hope the son's doing well in the judo, and he's got a great master in you. And I look forward to the next time I get to see you again.
Thank you very much, Bob. Job, it's always a pleasure.
Ours too. Buddy. Thank you.
That's Danny Skiff, lives just outside of Fort Worth, Texas.
All right. We've talked to him a dozen times, yep. And now all of a sudden we get the last secret, right? Use your butcher paper on your smoker. Now, butcher paper on a smoker, you don't have direct flame. Don't have to worry about it catching on fire. But when you wrap them in foil, you lose the bark. The butcher paper keeps it.
Great
cool
idea.
Little tip.
From Franklin, that was,
right.
Too.
Cool little tip. Coming up next, we're going to smoke your carnita. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Sweet little bang. She my pride and joy. She my sweet little baby. I'm my little lover boy.
We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. Stand behind our name.
and serving sportsmen.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Producer Brian throwing up some sweet bumper music there, brother. Thank you.
Another
it's all about Texas.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But Barbecue Bob, we covered the brisket pretty good already. And
we pounded the brisket, right?
Yeah. Sometimes you got to do that to make it tender. But
not a bad idea.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to. A lot of Southern Texas has a Mexican influence in the seasonings. Profiles
or the whole U.S. now,
right? Yeah, exactly. Very popular.
If it's not the most popular restaurants in any town, are what?
Mexican restaurants
and Chinese,
right?
You got those two big ones,
right?
And I would default to Mexican restaurant any day,
every day.
So my daughter Emily came up with this. She didn't come up with it, but I mean, she sent it to me in advance. It's called a smoked carnitas, and it's basically a pork shoulder that you marinate. Now I marinated it and injected it. And if you've ever injected a pork butt, you'll know that they don't inject very easily. So it had a lot of spots where you could see where the big injector went in, and there was a concentration of this green. But the it sort of reminded me of that chimichurri I was making for a while. And this is a really complex recipe. We'll put it on the grillingguys.com, and it's called smoked carnitas. But I don't want to have to try and break everything down, but the deal is you start off with a rub, and then you have a mop sauce. So the rub is going to be chili powder, kosher salt, black pepper, cumin, ground coriander, garlic powder, white pepper, and cayenne pepper. And then the mop sauce is going to have a 12-ounce bottle of a dark beer, 3/4 cup of orange juice, 1/4 cup cider vinegar, some oil, 4 cloves of garlic minced, and a couple teaspoons of this rub that we just talked about. And that's your mop. Now, I used that mop as an injection, and I used it as a marinade because I like marinating. The chicken was the one thing I wanted to penetrate in, and I find that chicken takes to a seasoning a little better with a marinade than just a rub.
Yep.
I don't know that that's correct, but it's just my preference.
Right. Well, it's a softer tissue. It's a little more absorbent, frankly, especially if you got the acids in there like the juice and the vinegar. It's going to open those pores up, and you're going to get some flavor deeper into the tissue.
Right, and there's a good reason not to marinate too long.
Right.
But I'm telling you, I took my first bite of those chicken thighs. Now, the pork carnitas were supposed to be the primary dish, but I'm a little bit burnt on pork butt, honestly.
Well, we eat a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not as thrilling. Now, it's thrilling when it comes off the smoker and you're checking the temp and you grab a little corner of some fresh bark. That's great. But in terms of, you know, a steady diet of pulled pork, I'm not the guy.
Right.
get more excited about sausage or a burger anymore than pulled pork. But the skinless, boneless chicken thighs marinating in this, unbelievable, just unbelievable. And the orange juice, what Emily taught me a year or two ago was hydrating certain Mexican dishes with orange juice, you know, finishing them off with some orange juice, like anything in that profile, a little bit of orange juice for your hydration, fantastic.
Right.
It just
brightens everything up,
gives
it a great flavor.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. Now, for those of that haven't done this before, these skinless, boneless chicken thighs, I'll go on record as that's my favorite cut of chicken to put on a smoker. The breasts seem to dry out. The leg quarters, you got to cook them a long time to get that joint done. Legs, I'm just not fond of. Thighs are good, but the thighs with the skin on them, they just aren't nearly as good.
They're a little bit more work.
Right.
But I do like those also. I like them when they're hot in particular.
Right.
But a little tip there, if you're doing a bunch of thighs like that, if you have leftovers, make sure you process all that meat while they're warm. Don't just put them in the refrigerator cold, because they're a lot easier to take apart when they're really hot. All that connective tissue is lucid, and they'll just pull right apart. Once they cool down, you have a tougher time gleaning the meat from those things.
Right.
But you're right, the skinless, boneless. And I'm telling you, dude, well, you had them.
Right.
But I brought the first, like, five off, and I'm outside with the big smoker, and so I always have a table set up and a chopping block, and you know, chef's choice, right?
Right.
So
yeah,
I
you're
pulled
not going
one
hungry.
Off, and I had a couple of buddies out there. We had already tapped that Belgian, and so we're standing out
I'm
there.
I'm getting the picture.
Standing out there.
I think I got there late, is what I think.
yeah, you did. And we're just having a beer, beautiful day, and I started chopping up those chicken thighs.
Right.
And I took the first bite, and my mouth's watering now recalling it. It was so unique and so flipping good that I just pulled immediately a few more off and said, these are for us.
Right.
And let's bring some inside. But, you know, for building tacos or salads and stuff like that, then we got the cleaver out. Now we're chopping it up and tried to leave it in big enough chunks that you could actually use it as finger food if you wanted to, because some people were just, you know, putting it on a salad or whatever. But
right.
That was, for me, the highlight. We had brisket and chuck and you know, all this other stuff.
Yep, shoulder.
But actually then, you know, in then doing the butts, what I did is on the butts, I actually substituted two of them, because two of them I wasn't sure if I wanted to do this rub on. So for two of them,
it was your safety valve, man. It was the first time you tried it.
Yeah.
So you're I got to have, this really doesn't work.
You'd
right.
think so, but I actually took it in a different direction and took another chance. And I said, I'm going to try this citric version of adobo. So I put this citrus pepper adobo on there and just lathered them. That was fantastic on pork butts, and I'm a big fan of adobo, the Goya adobo.
Anyway. Yeah, yep. Goya is the McCormick's of the Mexican seasoning world, right?
Well, yeah, and they make a lot of juices and right. stuff, beans. Yep. They're just like the big food company, right? Kraft, maybe.
Yeah.
But so that pork butt with that adobo on it was, I mean, the bark was like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm kind of liking pork butt again. It's just, you know, it's different.
Did you wrap those or not?
I did.
Did?
Yep.
So if I don't want to wrap them, what do I have to watch out for to make sure that they don't get burned on the outside? Do I need to drop that temperature? Because I'm still bringing them to about 190, right? A pork shoulder I'm talking about now.
Yeah, I bring butts at least to 195.
Okay. So I'm bringing them to 190, 195 with that temperature. Now, you wrap your butts at
160.
When they hit 160. Yep. Now, you get a – you heard if you
– At the stall.
Right. That's what I was going to say. If you heard Danny Skiff talking about – There's a thing in smoking called the stall. And what happens is this meat progresses its temperature up, and then it hits this plateau, right?
It just about stays there for an hour or two.
Right. And
about 160, 155 to 165.
Right. And it won't go anywhere. And you feel like, man, did my fire go out? It's weird. And then all of a sudden it'll break through.
Yeah, and it took you 9 hours to get there. So you think, oh, shoot, I've got another 3 hours left. So you take off. Well, no, because as soon as you wrap it and you put it back in and everything's back up to temp – that thing just pings. It's at 185 like within 45 minutes.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But so he's saying to wrap in the butcher paper after the stall. I wrap at 155 typically.
Right. But if when you wrap it with the foil, you lose the bark. The bark, the moisture in there,
too much moisture stays
it,
in.
Softens it a little bit. So are you wrapping it tight when you wrap it?
Yep.
Because part of what you want is that steam in there to help it move up.
I don't want to lose the steam because that's the moisture of the meat.
Right.
So I'm going to leave it wrapped, and then I'm going to let it park for a half an hour or 2 hours, and I'm going to throw it in a cooler and just let it rest.
With the foil still on it.
Yep.
Okay, so you're not looking for a crispy bark on your pork shoulder.
No, because all that bark, if it steams up on the outside anyway, it's going to end up in the juices. And when I unfoil it, I'm putting it in my serving tray, popping the foil off it. All the juice from that comes out in there. So you're still getting all the flavor from the bark.
Right.
You just don't get as crispy of a bark. But you still get so much bark, it's really fantastic.
Right.
It's not never been an issue for me.
Right.
I haven't noticed it like sitting in the pans uneaten.
Generally not. Coming up next, we might give you a few tips if you're heading down to Big Tejas, because we've got some classic barbecue restaurants to discuss with you. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson. That's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids. We even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Today's man law. I'm not sure if I like this one, but going with it. It is okay to have an umbrella in your drink only if you're at the ocean.
Is that right?
I don't write them.
I guess that would soften the rule if you're.
Well, it makes
in
you feel like you're on vacation, if nothing else.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a big foo-foo drink guy.
So great places in Texas for barbecue. Franklin's in Austin. We've had him on.
Yes, we have.
Franklin. Black's in Lockhart. Now, we just talked about Edgar Black just passed away 3 days ago. So he, according to Danny, started it all in Texas. Now,
right.
There's always legends like that.
Right. Didn't he say that he built that pit in like 49?
Yeah.
So you're looking at 68 years of flipping barbecue on the same pit?
Yeah.
Man.
And Danny's eaten there a million times.
Right.
Leon's in Galveston. So if you're heading down to
the
beach. And then Four Corners in Baytown. If you're up in the Port Arthur area, you've got Tony's. And, of course, if you're in Driftwood, Texas, you've got the Driftwood, the Salt Lick.
Right.
Which, again, was supposed to be on the show. And, I wanted them to be on the show because they have, if you go to their website, you'll see a really cool round barbecue pit with these uprights. And they smoke sausages over it and everything. And that's what I'm aiming to build in my grill house. That's the model. I haven't figured it all out, but I'm now collecting the rocks. I got the logs already, and now I'm saving up rocks. And maybe this winter I'll be able to get at that thing if I can get a foundation.
So let's paint a picture of that, because what you're looking at is this Salt Licks grill is almost like a giant fire pit you'd have in your backyard.
Yeah, it's probably 4 foot around on the inside and about 4 foot tall.
Yep.
But it's all stone.
Right.
And it's that really cool Texas cut stone.
So they build a fire in the bottom of it with either oak or their pecan or mesquite or
and
whatever he wants
to cook
over. Right.
And I don't know if they have a diverter plate in there or anything, but I got a feeling it's pure open coals.
Right.
And then they have four posts coming out of it with cranks on it and spindles, and they hang the meat on top of it. And there's a grate on top, so you can also throw meat on top and just smoke it on a grate.
Right. And but this is inside, right?
Yeah.
And it's got a big hood that naturally the smoke goes up through and out the building.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, this thing is a multi-purpose unit, and the reason that it's so cool is it's simple. And you could build one of these things in your backyard. Now, this place is called the Salt Lick, right? If you look that up online, and you'd see pictures of what we're talking about. Yeah. But it allows you to do the sausages and steaks on it. And
right.
I don't know if it's so much a smoker, is it?
It's a true pit barbecue.
Right.
So on the back end of it, there's a door, like where I would sit in this little room I'm building. So right in front of it, there's a door you open up, and you can throw your wood in there.
Chuck it in from the bottom.
Yep. And then it's just open pit barbecue. It's true pit barbecue. So I'm going to line the inside with some fire brick and then do all my natural field stone on the outside of it.
Right.
And we dug up a bunch in the last couple of weeks there. So there's some cool rocks to put in there.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I bet you are.
I doubt that I'll get the stonework done this winter because it's got to be warm enough. But I have every intention of getting those logs laid because I'm ready to have a grill house. It's just too cool a thing for a man cave.
Yeah. Well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend. Hey, if you want to check out these recipes that we went through today, go to the Grilling Guys, one G in the middle, thegrillingguys.com. Those recipes will be posted there. You can follow Barbecue Bob on Twitter and Facebook. And we just appreciate you supporting the couple knuckleheads that get out to do this every weekend. And get out in your backyard, create a little grill envy in your neighborhood. We'll talk with you next week.
Whiskey River, bathing my memory, mind the wetness of its soul. Feeling the amber burn.